podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Green Tech Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Green Tech Today, the TWiT Network's Top 25 Green Tech Innovators series.
This episode of Green Tech Today is brought to you by the Eco-Imagination Challenge from GE. GE and its partners are awarding $200 million to ideas that help build the next generation power grid for the 21st century. For more information and to view and comment on ideas, go to ecoimagination.com/challenge. And by MailRoute. Businesses of every size use MailRoute. One user to 50,000 users, it doesn't matter. MailRoute will protect you from spam and viruses, simplify your life, and make your email usable again. Cruise ships are among the leading polluters in the transportation sector. However, many cruise lines are taking steps to reduce their environmental footprints. Here in San Francisco, California, Hornblower Cruises has implemented a hybrid ship for their Alcatraz tours that uses solar and wind energy to charge the batteries for its electric drive system. Today, we get to take a ride on it, environmentally guilt-free.
That's right. I'm on a boat. I'm on the Alcatraz Cruise. It's a hybrid cruise ship. I'm with the port captain for Alcatraz Cruises, Aaron Warren. Can you tell me what it's like to captain this ship? What is it like to drive it versus a fully diesel-engined ship?
One of the big differences is the sound. You don't hear any diesel engine running right now.
Yeah.
We're completely on battery powers, and so you don't have any other engine on. And so it's just running off our two battery banks and then running into the electric motors. We're in our starboard engine room, running strictly on batteries. Pretty quiet in here. We're able to have a conversation and record. We do have propulsion going to strictly from the electric motor. We're going to be transitioning to our diesel generator. We'll just be running one diesel generator at this time, but you'll notice a huge transition with the sound. As you hear it kick on shortly, you'll be hearing a loud whistle.
That's something that I noticed. I mean, it's silent. This is so different from any other cruise I've been on aside from a sailboat.
Correct. And that's where we also use our wind turbines. You know, as a sailboat, you create so much of your momentum just by the sails. Where we tried to capture that with our wind turbines. That produces all the power to all our house load, which is our TVs, our electronics, and other refrigerators and stuff like that.
Okay. Is there anything that you as a captain need to take into account for where the power is coming from, what kind of a day it is, and how your energy is being generated?
Well, you have all options on the touch screens, which are at each station. This is the main control panel of the vessel. So it's quite different from any other vessel where normally you just have your two controls, which is your port engine and your starboard engine. Here is where we're selecting our power management. Right now we are on batteries. And we're just running on our batteries. If I wanted to kick on a generator, I would just hit our button here, kicks on the generator, and that would take the load.
Thank you, Captain.
As we kicked on our diesel generator, you see it says the generator's online. We can put the boat ahead, and now we're running on our diesel generator.
So depending on what the current is like, whether it's a really strong
Correct.
Current for a particular time of day, if you're
Correct.
Going against the current, if there's heavy winds, maybe the battery power just isn't going to get you back to shore.
Yes, correct. In San Francisco Bay, the current ranges from 2 knots to 6 knots. So going against that, you definitely didn't want to kick on a generator.
Uh-huh.
Just to be more efficient and to make your time. We built the boats to make a schedule. We didn't want to, you know, provide so much power that it's a waste. We wanted to provide just the amount of power for the boat that we needed for each of our trips.
Okay, and how long is an average trip? And does the battery power for, say, an average, a day like today is not going to be a heavy mm-hmm. draw because of the conditions. It's a beautiful day.
Correct.
We're just going to be out on battery. Could you go out a couple of times on battery with no problem?
The batteries are used all on the amps that are being pulled. So if we need more horsepower, it's going to draw a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right now we're just cruising around idling. We can go for approximately 3 to 4 hours and not have to kick on any diesel. If we were wanting to go faster, as soon as you put the boat in gear and get more horsepower, you're going to be actually using up a lot of your amps, which will deplete your batteries. We're in our port side battery compartment. All our battery boxes are along the sides here and lined up in series.
How many batteries?
32.
What do people who ride the boat say about it? Have you gotten a lot of feedback?
Everybody has a lot of comments. One of the big things when we built this boat, we built it as a smaller boat, as a test platform, but that also allows us to have an open pilot house. By having the open pilot house, people are allowed to come in, check out what's going on, see the captain as he's driving. Mm-hmm. A lot of questions come up, you know, as they see the different gauges up there and how we're operating. So you're able to talk to them about the different types of propulsion that we have.
Is there, in terms of what they're looking at, if somebody rides cruises all the time, and if they come up to the front, is it different?
Everybody asks about the wind turbines.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't know exactly what they are because it's usually their first time seeing them on a boat.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They look different. They're not a windmill. They're actually
correct.
This turbine.
They're a helix.
A helix shape, yeah. And these move whenever there's wind that's
correct.
Can move them. So if you're moving forward, that's going to create...
That's going to create the drag that will have the wind spin them.
Okay, and if there's a heavy wind, they'll be blowing
correct.
Anyway.
And in San Francisco Bay, it's a rare day today where we're not having as much wind, but you can get it anywhere from 15 knots to 40 knots of wind. So it does create a lot of power for us. And then on those bright days like we have the solar panels.
Right.
So it doesn't work on those foggy days, but on the bright days that we have, it does work very well.
Yeah. Tell me also, this boat isn't just green in terms of the wind turbines, the solar. The whole ship, there are lots of things that were taken into account.
Yes, everything that we did, we followed the guidelines. We have green procurement guidelines that we follow to make sure that we're building and using the proper techniques to be respecting our planet. Our countertops, which are, you know, Vitrazzo, they're all recycled glass.
Neat.
Sky vodka bottles.
Took a lot of drinking.
Perfect for a bar. That's good.
So all of our bars are recycled countertops. From the carpet to all of our materials used, we did not build from the ground up, which would be wasting a lot of aluminum. We took a hull that we could use and completely got it and restarted and did a major retrofit. And so that mm-hmm. saved a lot of energy and aluminum.
And in terms of how the boat is set up, this is a catamaran. So
correct.
You have two hulls and...
Correct. It's a catamaran. It's a more stable platform
mm-hmm.
That we decided as a good test platform for our wind turbines and whatnot.
With the catamaran, you have is that where the engine room is and the
yes in the batteries? Hulls of each catamaran you have two separate engine rooms. You have an engine room on your port and an engine room on your starboard. You have your diesel generators and your electric motors in the engine room, and then up forward in another bulkhead is our battery compartments.
Okay, so you don't keep the batteries with the...
That's correct. On our future plans, we would incorporate that. But on a test platform, when we first started, we decided it would be best to keep them in a separate bulkhead in case of any other injuries or whatnot.
Okay. And in terms of, you say you keep repeating this is a test platform. So How has it been doing in terms of the test?
It's been amazing. The reason why it's a test platform is no one else has completed this. We were one of the first ones to have a hybrid ferry, so no one believed that it was going to be accomplished. And so we've established that it is possible, and we're going to be building more for future contracts in New York and other places. It's really turned out to be a great test platform for us because we've been able to try different things, mm-hmm. from different wind turbines to different solar panels and even the batteries. So it's really turned out to be great for, you know, San Francisco to start it off.
Yeah, and in terms of the success of the payback, you're not using as much fuel. Do you know much about the cost that goes into the solar panels? Solar panels can be quite expensive. The wind turbines, is it balancing out somewhere?
It's not going to balance out in the first year, but over 10 years amortized, it could, you know, create a significant savings with our diesel.
Okay, so over time, it balances.
With the diesel prices going up, yes, it definitely will compensate us for it.
Absolutely. And
we're using significantly less.
Yeah.
You know, the average on any other boat is usually about 34 gallons for a boat this size. And now that's per hour. Now we're about 10 to 15 per hour. All depends on what you're doing. For our normal routes, it's about 15 per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're not using any right now. So we'll be able to make it back to the dock after our half-hour cruise and use zero fuel.
I'll get back to dock. That's good. Well, thank you very much. This is really just it's a fascinating ship. Are you hoping to captain the hybrid fleet?
We'll definitely be having more hybrids come to our neck of the woods and also in New York, and I'd be glad to try any of them.
Excellent. Well, I hope to catch you on a future cruise. We'll be right back to find out what makes this thing tick. More after this.
We're partnering with four of the biggest venture capital firms in the clean energy space, three in the U.S., one in Europe. Again, we think that the combination of GE investment and venture capital investment is going to allow us to increase innovation. It's going to allow us to accelerate new ideas. It puts us shoulder to shoulder with some of the smartest tech investors, and we can use what I would call the industrial clout of GE to bring technologies to this marketplace faster.
GE announced its challenge at a San Francisco event along with its four venture capital partners: Emerald Technology Ventures, Foundation Capital, Kleiner Perkins Caulfield and Byers, and Rockport Capital Partners have all joined with GE. Ideas from companies and individuals can be entered through the ecoimagination.com website for the next 10 weeks. So check out ecoimagination.com.
Businesses of every size use MailRoute. One user to 50,000 users, it doesn't matter. MailRoute will protect you from spam and viruses, simplify your life, and make your email usable again. MailRoute is a secure, hosted service that filters virus and spam from companies of any size. There's nothing easier for mail filtering than MailRoute. There's no hardware or software to install. You just sign up with MailRoute to start your mail flowing through them, and then they do all the work for you. Visit MailRoute.info to sign up. As a TWIT listener, you'll receive a 10% discount for the life of your account. Small business accounts start at $2 per user per month for 10 users. And because of demand from the TWIT Army, MailRoute has added a new service for individual users as well. Visit MailRoute.info and sign up with the email filtering service that Tom and Leo use.
It's about time that we found out how this boat ticks. I'm with Keir Moorhead. He's the project engineer on the Alcatraz cruises for Hornblower. Can you tell us the nitty-gritty? What's going on here in this boat? You've got solar, you've got wind. What kind of power is being produced?
Well, we have solar, we have wind, we have batteries, we have shore power, we have diesel engines. And The amazing part about this boat is how all of those come together and are used on the boat. And we use them, all those different power sources, in different ways in order to make the boat go in different modes. It takes a lot of energy to move a boat through the water, and unfortunately we still have to rely on diesel engines for some of that. But we can use the diesel engines a little bit more intelligently than a typical boat does. On normal boats, they have three engines or four engines running at a time, two main engines and one or two diesel generators running. And they always run all day long, no matter what you're doing. If you're going slow, you're still running the same amount of engines. If you're going fast, they're running the same amount of engines. On this boat, what we can do is actually stage our engines coming on, and we can have a combination of no engines and run on batteries, one engine when we need our cruising speed, and for those occasions when we actually do need full power to go faster than what we normally would to make our schedule, we can use two main engines, and they're actually generators. So this boat is a series hybrid. And we use full electric propulsion. So the only thing driving the propellers is the electric motors.
Right. So you've got diesel generators that will generate power for the electric motors. But those electric motors also get a lot of their power from batteries that have energy that's being provided by the sun and wind.
Correct.
So what kind of a balance? Like how much energy do you have? What are you storing in the batteries? What's going on with the energy?
Well, we're storing about 70 kilowatt hours of power on this boat, which equates to a few gallons of diesel.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the nature of batteries is they're still pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't sound like a lot because it's only a few gallons of diesel, and these boats are capable of consuming upwards of 30 or 40 gallons of fuel an hour.
Right.
But it's in how we use the boat. So this particular boat and its daily schedule spends about 40 to 50% of its time idling or waiting to move passengers, and only 50% of its time transiting that at speed. So what we'll do is when we're at the dock, like right now, we're on battery power. And the boats are required usually when we're boarding passengers to be in gear and operating while at the dock even.
Okay.
And this boat, we can do that on battery power. And then when we're transiting to get underway, when we back out of this slip and turn around and maneuver to go on our course, we'll do that on battery power as well. And not until we absolutely have to turn on the engine is when we turn on the engine. And that's when we're actually pointed, in this case, at Alcatraz or at Angel Island.
Right. Full steam ahead, or in this case, full diesel ahead. for the batteries, what influenced the battery choice, the batteries that are being used on this boat?
Well, this boat has AGM-style batteries, and it's an older technology, but we ended up using that. This boat is the first of its kind, and there were a lot of concerns about putting modern lithium-ion-based batteries on a boat and a battery bank of this scale. This is a little bit bigger than a hybrid car.
And you're dealing with different corrosive factors as well. I mean, it's a watery
Absolutely.
Environment. You get water. What's going to happen?
Well, hopefully we don't get water in there.
Right. But it's a boat. Things happen.
So to meet a lot of the regulations and to just get rid of a lot of the concerns, we went with a more traditional battery style.
Okay.
And in the boats, they're large enough that they're not quite as influenced by weight as a car would be.
Yeah.
4,000 pounds of batteries in a car would make not a very good car. 4,000 pounds of battery in a 60-ton boat doesn't make quite as much of a difference. So what you're looking at here is our onboard power management system, and this is a visual display that's available for all our passengers to see and is distributed throughout the vessel. So on both decks, passengers can see if our generators are running, what our batteries are doing, how much speed we're putting out to the propellers, how much power we're pulling in from solar panels, and they can get an idea of how we're managing the power on the vessel. One of the goals with this boat was actually to not make it look like a normal boat, because if it looks like a normal boat, then it just is a normal boat.
Right.
And we wanted to draw people's attention to all these different technologies that we have on the vessel. And throughout the vessel, there are different displays, and a lot of the equipment is out, so people can look at this and then go downstairs and see what's creating that energy, or walk outside and see what's creating the energy.
And I know automobiles, people often use this to maximize their efficiency, to see what they're doing, what's getting them better gas mileage or electrical mileage. Do you get feedback from the passengers who say, oh, you should be doing something different?
It does engage the passengers, and they do come and they will ask why we're running on one engine or why we're running two engines. Mm-hmm. So it does engage them and brings the passengers up to the pilot house to ask questions about the vessel.
Looking, you said this boat's the first of its kind. There's one another boat recently launched in New York City. I know there are other boats on the drawing board. Do you foresee a change in the batteries that you use?
Actually, yes and no. It really depends on the application. For the New York vessel, it worked out that we actually needed ballast in the boat. And so it didn't benefit us to go with a light battery, and that's one of the benefits of lithium ion or any of the advanced technology batteries is that they're light. And we needed weight, and we didn't have a space concern. So on those vessels, we actually stayed with the tried and true technology.
Is there going to be any kind of, as you're looking forward into the future, the way that you collect the solar and the wind power, are you going to be making changes? Are there considerations that you're taking in, that you're taking into account as you look at future designs?
We want to try and implement solar as much as possible. It's a great technology for these boats because they just sit out in the sun all day.
Right.
The problem is that we do need to get a lot of energy, and it still is tricky to get that much energy on a boat that... there are weight concerns. So we will be adding more and more solar to the vessels, but we're also going to be looking at alternative power sources as well.
Such as?
Hydrogen fuel cells.
Oh, interesting.
So the vessel in New York is going to be equipped with hydrogen fuel cells.
That could be very interesting because, again, weight not being an issue, you can have a fairly large fuel cell, and the hydrogen is something that if you can either create it on the boat or... Have it
brought in.
And
in the case in New York, the fuel source is actually going to be a waste stream from a paper factory. So it was gas that was going, or it was traditionally flared off in a stack, and they'll be collecting it. And it's actually liquefied and compressed and brought to us via power from Niagara Falls. So it's about as clean as we can get for a fuel source.
Right, and that's one of the ways that, as a company, you're looking at powering your vessels is this very, very clean, holistic perspective from mm-hmm. kind of where you get the energy all the way into how the boat uses it.
Right, and it really does depend on location of the vessels and operation of the vessels, and so we don't have the same solution for every boat mm-hmm. that we do, and all of the boats have different routes, different applications. I mean, you wouldn't use a pickup truck to commute in. You wouldn't use a commuter car to haul gravel in. So
right.
So with these different applications, these different locations, we're trying to pick and pull the best technologies possible for cleaning up the emissions of the vessels.
Yeah, is that fun as an engineer? I guess each one being its own problem.
It's fun, and it's a little bit of... pain and suffering along the way too, because a lot of we joke that we're on the bleeding edge of technology, and it has been a challenge trying to apply all these different technologies.
Are you finding that there's a lot of interest, that people are starting to look at it and at what you're doing and try and see how they can apply it?
There is a lot of interest, but this industry is typically a pretty skittish industry, and so trying to make changes like we're doing is taking a bit of time and effort, but as fuel prices go up and down, it grabs people's attention.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
So if you're interested in taking your own clean, green cruise around San Francisco Bay, you can go to hornblowerhybrid.com for more information. That does it for me for this episode of Green Tech Today. I'm Dr. Kiki. You can catch me finding some new green hunting stuff next time.
That's it for this episode of Green Tech Today. Subscribe at twit.tv/GTT and never miss a show. If you have a question or a comment, email us at greentechtoday@twit.tv. Or you can leave a voicemail at 415-GT-TODAY.